Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, those of you who are visiting this sort of a charismatic prophetic thing, your word shall be on my mind and on my mouth and in my heart. One of my favorite sign of the cross stories, because the church has always been charismatic. I don't know where the story got out that it wasn't. It's always been. You always found the Holy Spirit at work. And there was a man who became a great, powerful man of God, a bishop named Cyprian. And this is way before, this is like in the 3rd century, I think. And he was a warlock before he got saved. And he was approaching a young girl, maybe 14 years old, and he was going to rape her and then kill her. And as he approached her, she made the sign of the cross. He fell out in the Spirit, got totally delivered and filled with the Spirit, and became one of the greatest men of God in early church history. So thank God for prophetic symbols. This is from Romans chapter 6. Impossible to do this in a few short minutes, but God is good. Let me just read a few verses to you. Verse 1 of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, our old self, was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, and death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin, not just for sin, but to sin, once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider. I like it in the King James Version because it sounds more southern. Reckon yourselves, therefore, dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Especially that verse 11 is a real popular scripture among Bible-believing people. And as they grow and they're learning, being mentored in the Spirit, how to walk in victory over sin, that verse 11 becomes one of those key universal verses that you're told, reckon yourself or consider yourself dead to sin. And whenever you get tempted, consider yourself dead to sin. Consider yourself dead to sin. Consider yourself dead to sin. The problem is, one of the things I've discovered, having done this now for a long time, is that people think somehow if they'll do that, it'll make themselves dead to sin. It becomes a real source of frustration and a real source of anxiety. And you end up again in pleading faith. God wants us to walk in resting faith. Faith is always based on something that's true. It doesn't make anything true. It's based on things that are true. And then based on that, you decree, you stand. Remember the thing, acting like it is so, even when it isn't so, experientially, in order for it to be so, because you know it is so, because he says it's so. And so people fall into this. I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin. And the very frustration becomes sin itself. Where we miss the mark is, just the sequence is verse 6. It starts with this, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Christ. The whole heart of Romans chapter 6, and this is the miraculous part if it makes any sense by revelation in a few minutes, but is that when Jesus went to the cross, because you're in Christ, his history is your history. And when he went to the cross, you went with him to the cross and died in his person for your sin. He died as your substitute. He took you in him. Whenever there's a criminal who's committed the crimes that we've committed, that person has to satisfy the justice of God, the judge. The wages of sin is death. And so we couldn't pay for our sins. Jesus, the innocent one, took us in his person. And in Christ, he died not just for sin, but to sin. He didn't die for us, not just for us, but he also died as if he were us. And he took us, the guilty criminal, in his person to the cross. And when he died, we died. So therefore, the guilty person, the condemned sinner, died in the person of Jesus. You died in Christ. That's history. You can't make yourself dead to sin. You died to sin in Jesus. He did it by grace. Now, not only that, when a person, once they've died for their sin, they can't die for their sin again. And they're no longer under condemnation because the sin's been paid for in the person of Jesus. So not only did the sin get paid for, the crime get paid for, but the criminal died. And the miraculous thing is that because we died in Christ, he rose up a whole new person, as if we were born again and get a whole new shot of life, but this time sharing his life in us so that we don't have to live in bondage to sin. That person died. I'm a new creation in Christ. And so we have to start here, and the word knowing is the word experiential knowledge. It's got to start with a revelation that Jesus didn't just die for you as a past fact. You died in him as a past fact. The sinner. You can choose to sin, but you're no longer a slave to sin. That person died in Christ on the cross. And once you know that, then you can consider yourself, reckon yourself dead to sin. The word reckoning is an accounting term. If I have $100 in the bank, I can declare and decree all day long I have $125 in the bank, but I don't. I can say I have $95 in the bank and I've shortchanged myself because that's not true. The fact is, the accounting is that I have $100 in the bank and I can reckon on that because that's true. Does it make it true? It's already true. So I can rest in that reality and live off of that fact. So when he says, reckon yourself dead to sin, he's not saying make yourself dead to sin. You're not moving toward victory. You're moving from a victory already won in Christ. Remember, we said over and over again, religion always starts with what? Doing, trying, performing, demanding. Christianity always starts with bestowing. Religion says, go do this so you can get here. Jesus says, you're here, now go do this. I've done it, now go do it. I've equipped you, now you can. Don't try so that you finally get some reward so you can. You can. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith. Faith isn't based on something I hope is going to happen. Faith is always based on something that already has happened. It's already true. So the next time you get tempted, don't run around and scream and declare and decree and prophesy that you're free from sin. It won't help. Well, how am I going to get free? You got free. He did it. So resting faith says, I'm dead to you. That slave to sin died. And now Christ is my life. And because he's my life, he's my victory. Your own, Lord Jesus. And he'll always enforce and make present in your experience what's already true about you. That's just the way it works. Faith draws that from that realm into this realm. It's really simple, and it's so glorious. And of course it's the way he would do it. Chuck, I did it all. Now I've given you the equipment to live a different life. Now go rest in it, walk in it, rejoice in it. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.